All right, everybody, welcome back to our seventh edition of the NDL podcast. I'm going to talk loud today so that you guys can hear me and make sure my mic situation's figured out. But a lot to get to today. Jason, how are you, sir? How was your weekend?
It was good. A little warm here, but otherwise had a pretty solid weekend.
Yeah, same. I was in New Orleans, feeling myself, having a great time. Got back early this morning. I actually have not been to New Orleans since like 2017, so that was only my second time there. Good time, fun time. Don't really have a desire to go back anytime soon.
I've actually never been. It's on the list of things to do. What is your favorite dish to get down there?
I'm trying to think what I even ate this weekend. It wasn't much. I did try gator. I did have some gator. That was interesting, little different. And then, like, there's 27 different Willie's chicken spots down there. So I think that's probably the go-to for me.
No jambalaya? No shrimp etouffee? None?
No, I didn't.
Not even a beignet?
I didn't even have a beignet this weekend. It was a pretty quick trip.
Did you go to New Orleans if you didn't have a beignet?
I guess. I don't know. Maybe not.
It's a philosophical question.
Yeah. I got in Friday night and we went out. And then Saturday we went to brunch and went out and watched football all day. And then I left Sunday morning. It was very quick. But yeah, fun city, fun town. Glad I made it back in one piece to talk NDL. So a lot to get to today. I think that today we're starting with the top 25. Obviously, have a new ranking out today. A lot of changes. And Jason, we have our first new number one team.
Yeah, Notre Dame has reached the pinnacle. And if you look at their numbers, I mean, granted, I get Georgia was rolling, but, you know, even if Georgia hadn't lost, you could make an argument for Notre Dame being number one. They've allowed 64 points in 7 games, and Syracuse scored 28 of those. So, I mean, it is absurd what Rain has been doing defensively.
Yeah, I think I mentioned on last week's podcast that I did indeed actually rank him number one last week. And maybe I was just doing a little foreshadowing there. But, yeah, some changes. I did see, obviously, Georgia lost. They took their first loss and moved down. I was really surprised to see them fall all the way to seventh. I don't think I put them that low in my polls, but I guess what are your takeaways from this new top 25?
Well, I'm curious to see if the Beefy Cup results played any part of that, because not only did Georgia suffer their first loss of the season in league play, they were upset by Rutgers in the Beefy Cup, and that kind of surprised me to see. I'm wondering if that is a reason why they got knocked down a bit. SMU, obviously, top five is the big story. That's a team that, again, we pegged preseason. Steamroller's a great coach. I have full expectation, barring some sort of calamity down the stretch and collapse, that he's going to be in the college football playoff. Big Mike, Missouri, number two in the polls. I'll continue to say it every week. How the hell did we let Big Mike get a team like Missouri? But I digress. Northwestern cracking the top 10. I mean, that is not a team coming into the regular season that I had anywhere near my radar. And then, you know, Kansas, outstanding running back. Jiggy J-Rod is showing that he's a coach to be contended with, and he cracks into the top 10 as well.
Yeah, see, you know, obviously a lot of the same teams. Again, good to see some smaller schools, you know, in the bottom half of this here. You know, Ball State cracking the rankings, UMass, Toledo, Temple. Glad to see Baylor, you know, making a bigger jump. I think they've been a serious coach and contender in the Big 12 along with Kansas. I think the Big 12 is actually going to be a lot of fun here down the stretch. There's going to be a lot of big games coming up. But, you know, interestingly enough, too, like, you know, Clemson suffered a loss. Iowa suffered a loss. Tennessee suffered a loss. But all of them are kind of sitting in that same place they were last week. So, you know, there was some you know, big fallout. I think, you know, Oregon going from top five down to 19. I think they suffered 2 losses this past week. But, yeah, you're really starting to see big games happen and really the movement that we expected once we got into the bulk of conference play.
I think the biggest shock for me is Oregon State at 25. I mean, that's a team that, again, if everybody remembers, was a last second kick return touchdown away from being 6-0. And you know, they've put together a solid resume. Granted, they haven't gone and beaten any big schools, but still 6-0, took Oregon to the wire. I would expect they would be ranked higher than 25th.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, he's had a game in the last couple of weeks. I know, you know, some of that had to do with scheduling and bye weeks, and then some of it with some opponents just haven't been around lately. But I think he's been stuck at 3-1 for a long time, just kind of sitting in that like 22 to 25 range for a while. I will say I do love to see South Carolina. I think that was a team that lost their first game of the season, and they are, you know, I think 6-0 since then. Probably going to be a true contender in the SEC. A lot of huge matchups coming up. It's going to be very interesting to see, and we'll dive into that. But anything else here stand out in the top 25 for this week?
No, but I'm very interested to see over the next week or two how things start posturing with, you know, college football playoff rankings coming out next week. Are people going to start rewarding some of the smaller schools and moving them up, or are they going to start rewarding bigger conference teams that maybe have, you know, two losses that have played a tougher schedule? Everybody obviously has a different focus on what they vote. Some people look at record only. Some people look at your opponent's win percentage. Some people look at your schedule. That's going to be part of the fun and the drama over the next couple of weeks is how do people put together their polls, and do some of these smaller teams get in, or is it only going to be one or two, you know, that go undefeated?
Yeah, very curious to see how that shakes out when we get those Massey ratings. But I think one other thing too that stands out in this top 25 is that after 25, you see Duke, you know, just kind of scratching right there at 355 votes, and then a huge drop off after Duke. You got Michigan at 163, myself at 103, Florida State at 100. I did see USC and Coastal Carolina are kind of up there as well. But it was interesting to see that huge point drop off, because that means everyone is kind of in agreement that these are, you know, the top 25, 26 teams, and that, you know, you're probably not seeing other teams like the ones like Michigan, myself, Florida State, that just aren't getting as many votes. But yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
And finally, no votes for Fresno State. Well done, people. You're learning. No votes for Fresno State. That team does not deserve any votes.
We did it, Joe, right?
That's right.
So speaking of top 25, great segue into the theme of last week, which was upsets. And we were talking a little bit about that before this show, and you were saying like, well, you know, I don't know if they're necessarily upsets. And, you know, looking at, you know, USC beating Penn State, new coach, you know, he's kind of on a heater as well, just like South Carolina, you know, big shakeup there. And then I think, you know, obviously, again, not a huge upset, but a great game that kind of shook out was the Ohio State-Oregon game, 43-41. So, yeah, what were some of the games that caught your eye this past week, Jason? And let's dive into them.
Yeah, it wasn't so much for me upsets as it was how many teams survived. Missouri barely outlasting Auburn 24-21 in a game that went to overtime. A lot of two-point conference games. South Alabama knocking off UMass 55-52. Iowa barely staying, you know, where they're at, beating Washington 24-21. The one score that did surprise me, I don't know that it's an upset given, you know, how much we've hyped them up, but SMU just dominating Florida State in a game that wasn't even close. That one, you know, I expected that to be one of those really good games, and it was very one-sided.
Yeah, I didn't catch that game, but I did notice there was a lot of games out there that are like these one-possession games. You even talk about your buddy Chase, VT, you know, he's starting to catch on with Arizona State right now. Had a couple close.
Well, he knows that Virginia Tech's back in play because Nick's gone. Yeah. he's got something to fight for now.
He's motivated, right? A hungry dog runs faster, right? But no, I mean, yeah, teams like Rutgers. You know, I think a couple games that we had last week in the game of the week. You know, I don't know if this game was in here. I thought it was going to be a game of the week, but Bowling Green, Kent State. You know, Bowling Green is looking like one of the favorites in the MAC, and we'll talk a little bit about conference predictions and playoffs and things like that. But obviously Georgia going down was a big one. But yeah, a lot of close conference games. I had a great game against Iowa State. That was one of the most fun games that I've played since being in here, or since the new league came back. But yeah, everything's starting to shake out and kind of take place, and it's going to make for a very interesting final three blocks that we have coming up. We'll have three more weeks of this until we get into postseason play. But any other games that stood out, or any takeaways from some of the results that we saw this past week?
Yeah, I mean, a huge one. Temple barely surviving Tulsa 42-39. That's one of those games. And, you know, we talked about these smaller schools. That's one of those games. There's a huge difference when you're an AAC team between 6-1 and 5-2. And winning that game, surviving, pulling that game out keeps them alive for, you know, possible college football playoff spot. I don't know that they are anymore if they lose that game.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see when we get these rankings, what the formula and the computer makes it look like. Let's talk about this week. We have some pretty big games coming up again. You know, I love the ACC. I'm starting to follow that conference a lot more. But the first one I see on my list here is Duke and SMU. Again, Duke was just kind of scratching right there, almost at the top 25. I think that was your one last week that you were surprised that they hadn't cracked the top 25 yet. But yeah, let's dive into that game a little bit. Who do you see coming out on top, and who you like in Duke SMU?
Well, when you look at Duke's defense, they've allowed 243 points in six games, which, as the saying in Mad Men goes, not great, Bob. Versus SMU has allowed 74 in six games. So obviously Steamroller has a defense that can shut down Duke's attack. And I think that's a similar situation that we're going to see with Florida State, where he's able to slow that Duke offense down. Duke's one of the highest scoring teams in the entire league. They've scored 295 points. That's a defense that they haven't faced yet, and I think Steamroller comes out with another win.
Yeah, I think you're right there, and I don't know if this is I haven't run the numbers on this, but I've noticed that the guys who put up the big offensive numbers, when they run into someone who's been, you know, awesome on defense, it changes. You know, the scores are a lot lower, and I cite back the Florida State game. You know, SMU, I think, what was he held them to 10 points. What was it, 31-10 or something like that?
Yeah.
So, you know, you saw Florida State scoring tons and tons of points the first, you know, five games, and then SMU, you know, all of a sudden the defense just looks great and amazing. So it'll be interesting. I know Duke has put up a lot of points. They have a fun quarterback, obviously. But yeah, I'm with you. I like SMU in that game. And I'm curious, because I think this will be the litmus test, or the game for SMU that will really say, like, okay, I think the ACC is theirs if they take this game.
Yeah, and it is worth noting, though, Duke's opponent record is 23-14 this season. So, I mean, this is a Duke team that's beaten some good teams. Now, that said, Florida State's opponents are 26-16. So, I mean, SMU's beating good teams that have beaten good teams. But yeah, that's one of those games that I think is going to play a key role in who wins the ACC, because ACC's wide open. You've got SMU and Duke both sitting at 2-0 in conference. Clemson's 4-1. And then you've got Cal and Boston College, who are 3-1. And it's easy to overlook that conference record and just look at that first win loss. But Boston College is 4-3. But then you realize they're 3-1 in conference. They are very much in the hunt. And, you know, all it takes is one slip up, and a team like BC can go on a run and sneak into the ACC title game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw Six's record the other day was sitting at 6-2 and 3-1 in conference. And it's like, oh, we talk about the big dogs a lot. But I mean, yeah, look at Cal, look at Boston College. Great example of, like, it's really wide open. And we'll see, obviously, a lot more unfold the next, you know, week or two here. But the next game.
And one thing.
Go ahead.
One thing, too, to keep in mind with these, especially with these bigger schools that we haven't really talked about, home field advantage is so OP in this game, that I think we're going to see some more of these really tight games. We're going to see some more of these quote-unquote upsets where, you know, the team that we expect to win doesn't. Because, you know, you look at some of these guys' records. Clemson's 5-0 at home. Duke's 4-0 at home. Cal's 5-0 at home, but then when they go on the road, it's 1-1, 2-1, 1-2. Same thing with Miami. Miami's 1-3 on the road. It's going to be, I think it's extremely important to take a look at who is home, and SMU has the home field advantage in that game against Duke.
Yeah, it's actually a perfect lead into the next game I wanted to talk about, which is Kansas-LSU. This is as heavyweight of a matchup I think we're going to see, maybe even the rest of the season. I know LSU's got a loss or maybe even two on their schedule right now. But this is a game at LSU. I think this is going to be truly one of the biggest tests for Kansas. I love this game. I hope I can catch it. If we are lucky enough to maybe get a stream game of the week, we have not decided any of yet. We're not on it yet. But, yeah, if we can get one, this would probably be the one that I would want to target. So what do you think out of this game, Jason?
This is another one of those really good matchups of a high-scoring offense versus a low-scoring defense, because LSU's only allowed 98 points in six games. Kansas is putting up points, 251 points through their six games, but they've also only allowed 105 points. So I think it's going to be key that, you know, if Kansas is going to get the win, he's got to be able to play solid defense. More importantly, he's got to be able to put up points against that LSU defense and kind of negate some of that home field advantage. The good news for Jiggy J-Rod is even if he loses this game, it has no bearing whatsoever on the Big 12 standings.
Right.
So even though he might lose and, you know, take a loss in the loss column, he can still run the table in conference, win the Big 12 title, and he's guaranteed a spot in the playoff.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the SEC right now on our website, and you got number 5 Florida 6-0, obviously a new coach in there, but number 24 South Carolina 6-1, number 2 Missouri 7-0, number 7 Georgia 7-1, LSU 5-1. I mean, you can go on and on and on. This is a extremely top heavy conference. Even OU, I think OU started like 1-2, and now they're sitting at 4-2 and only one game back in the conference standing. So yeah, this is going to be a bloodbath down the stretch. It's going to be fun to watch a lot of these games. I mean, as expected, right? The SEC, you know, obviously in real life is the conference, and to see it again, to see it look just like it does, probably will in real life this year, it's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and the Oklahoma coach, obviously there's a coaching change there. The new Oklahoma coach is much better than the old Oklahoma coach. So he's picked up the reins and done well. I think there's a lot of pressure on Bucknut in this game because while, you know, we talked about Kansas, it doesn't impact them a ton. They can still win out. LSU, if they lose this game, they're 5-2, which means it's going to be very difficult for them to finish top 12. And then you look at what's in the SEC, who they've got to jump over to get to that SEC title game, who they've still got to play. They have no wiggle room, I think, if they lose this game. They absolutely have to win out and win the SEC, or at least reach the SEC championship game to get to that playoff spot. So I think they absolutely have more pressure on them at home in this one.
And then on to our next game. I'm looking too. I was just scrolling through the standings and getting to the Big Ten. And then, you know, the same thing I say about the SEC is pretty true with the Big Ten. Obviously, their rankings aren't, you know, I don't think they have as many ranked teams up there, but everyone in that top half is kind of hovering around, you know, 5-2, 4-1, 3-1 in conference, 4-1 in conference. And then the next game on our list is Ohio State, Penn State. Ohio State's in a great spot. You know, they could lose this game and I think be all right. But, you know, Penn State took the loss to USC this past week. You know, they're 4-1. USC is now in the conference. But I kind of see this game as like, again, not an elimination game for Ohio State, but I think for Penn State, it kind of might be. You know, again, you have two losses in a conference this stacked. You might not have a shot to get to that conference championship game. So, you know, this should be a heck of a game. Both of them have played some really close games. Obviously, Ohio State escaped last week. But who do you like in this game?
I like Ohio State for a couple of reasons. The first one being Penn State is struggling offensively. 92 points in five games for a team like Penn State is not going to get it done at the Horseshoe. One, if you're scoring that few points, and that means the crowd's staying in that game, you're dealing with home field advantage the entire time. The other part of this is Ohio State's only played one home game. They're 5-0, but four of their wins have come on the road. Daniel came to my place, whooped my ass, right good. You know, he's gone on the road to get these wins, so it's not a product of, you know, him having that amazing advantage and handicapping the opponent. I just don't see Penn State, the way that they're struggling offensively, finding a way to win this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm actually very low on Penn State in real life. I don't think they're that great at all. And we were talking about this yesterday, me and some guys, of just like every year they go 10-2, but they can't beat Michigan and they can't beat Ohio State, right? It's like those two games, and hey, they might make the playoff this year. They might go 10-2 and find themselves in, even if they were to lose those two games. But yeah, they're just not a fun team to me. I'm kind of with you. Like, I just think Ohio State's way too loaded. He's been scoring points like crazy as well. I think every game has at least kind of been in the 40s. How do you not score points with some of the offensive weapons that they have? And I really obviously like them to win the Big Ten. But that'll be a great game. Go ahead.
Not to mention, not only does Daniel have those weapons, he runs Navy's playbook. I mean, he runs Wishbone at times, like,
yeah,
and flex option, like, with the weapons Ohio State has, and then you've got these looks that are not your typical look, and you've got to try to defend the triple option. I mean, it's a nightmare. And he executes this. This is a guy that used Navy for years in the NDL. He knows how to execute this playbook, and he gave me a crash course in it as he completely shredded me apart.
Yeah, I've actually finally made my own custom playbook, and I did put the I think it's the Flexbone in there. Fun formation, fun to run. I only have, I think, one of the Flexbone formations with like six plays in it, but which takes us to our next game. Some people may have seen this one on the list, and they were probably thinking, like, why is this a game of the week? But I'm proud of it to be a game of the week. And actually, one of the coaches, conference commissioners, had a great idea. I can't remember who it was, but they were like, what if we could get all of our veterans or the guys who've served in this league to call this game as like a live cast game of the week? Army Air Force, again, probably not the sexiest record game that we have on here this week, but I think it's cool because it's, you know, a rivalry game for the Commander-in-Chief trophy. Obviously, Navy's going to be part of that as well. But done your research, Jason. What do you see in this game, and who do you like?
I mean, I'm a Navy baby, so I don't want either one of them to win. No, I mean, this is one of those games I think is going to be really fun because, you know, a lot of our game of the week are these big name schools, and they've got tons of weapons, and they've got, you know, tons of game breaking players, and everybody knows the big names. This is a unique one because these are two teams that, to really be successful with them, you've got to be patient. You've got to really put time into learning your roster. You've got to make good decisions on the field. I have no idea which one of these guys is going to win. I don't know anything about their rosters. I just know that whenever you get a matchup between the two of them and you don't have, you know, Army's offensive line trying to hold off an SEC defensive line or a Big 12 defensive line, they actually have a chance. You see a completely different game. And I think it'll be fun to watch, and it'll be fun for these two coaches to have a game where they're not just completely overwhelmed, because I've been on both sides of that. I know how fun it can be at time, you know, when your defensive line is just destroying the other team's offensive line. And I also know how frustrating it can be that nothing you do seems to work because you've got, you know, 70 rated offensive linemen just getting destroyed as soon as the ball is snapped. I think this will be an opportunity for both coaches to actually run their playbook and not have to cut it in half because, well, I can't run that play because I won't get time to throw that pass, or I won't get time for that play to develop.
Yeah, I've actually watched some of Army's games here when I've had a chance. Brohan, he's played some close games. Like, credit to him playing with Army. Obviously, it's not an easy task at all, but a lot of close games, scoring points, like 205 points in seven games. You know, it's very, very respectable for having the Army team. And then same with Air Force. I think Air Force on this game is like one of the lowest rated teams, I think, maybe in the bottom 10. I think both of these teams were drafted in the bottom 10 in the draft. But Ninja's done a great job with Air Force. I mean, you know, again, you're working with what you have, right? Like, you can only do so much with the limitations. But I think you hit it right on the head. Like, these are two teams that you have to know your team. Like, you have to know how to play with them. You need to know your personnel, you know, your identity. You know, I talk about Iowa. He's a guy who he doesn't try to do non-Iowa things. Like, he plays Iowa football with them on this game, and that's kind of, you know, helped him be so successful. But yeah, no, it's going to be hard to predict this game. I do think Army breaks through. I know they've kind of had a tough season. They're looking at 1-6, but I think I'd go with Army in this game. I believe they're on the road, which again might be tough, but should be a fun game. This game I think is normally played at a neutral site, like in real life. Like, I think the last few years it's been played in Dallas, actually. I don't know if that's the case in this situation. I think it's probably a home game for somebody. But yeah, glad to get one of these games on there, because I do think sometimes we get caught up in, you know, the big games, the Oregons, Ohio States, the, you know, LSU, Alabama's, or I guess maybe that's not the best example, Georgia. Man, he catches a stray every week, doesn't he? We always get Bama astray every week. Sorry, U.S. Marine. But hey, this should be a game that you're probably following with the ties. Go ahead.
I'm curious if that was a game that they scheduled out of conference, because in real life, that game is actually being played at West Point this year.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I knew it happened in Dallas the last couple of years. Yeah, and now that Army's not independent, yeah, it's probably obviously not a conference game now. So, okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, that has to be one that they went and scheduled, and kudos to them for keeping that, you know, that rivalry alive.
The last game on the list we'll touch on, another, like, interesting game. You know, obviously two teams that are in the top 25 right now. One of them's independent. The other one, like, kind of independent. I know they're in the Pac-12, but we got Oregon State and UMass on here. Tell me your thoughts on this game, Jason. What are the ramifications in this one?
Well, I mean, obviously you have an independent, so huge pressure on them. It's not a situation where they can fall back on winning a conference. But then on the flip side, you've got Oregon State, who's in a two-team conference. So I don't know how that is going to work. If they, I'm assuming they don't get a spot, it's going to be the same as, you know, you can't have a conference championship when you've only got two teams in the conference.
Right.
I think Oregon State's the better team, you know, having watched them play again, one fluke kick return touchdown away from being undefeated on the season. Very good offensively, very solid defensively. And he has home field advantage. So I think that's going to be the key in this one.
Yeah, he, again, I haven't seen him play in a while, and I know he's been scrimming and on the Discord, but yeah, going to be a big game. I think this is for either one of these teams. Whoever wins this game at least keeps their name in the conversation the rest of the season, because yeah, it's almost going to be virtually impossible to make a postseason run or to get a playoff spot if you're one of these two teams, unless you go 11-1 and you find yourself in the at-large status. So yeah, should be a fun one. Any other games on the schedule that we didn't talk about or that we didn't mention, Jason, that stand out in the next couple of weeks?
You'd ask me that after I hadn't looked at those yet. I mean, obviously, you've got conference games, and I think SEC obviously is going to be the one that I look at when you've got seven ranked teams in the top 25. Every single week, we're going to have a big game. I'm trying to pull up the schedule stuff, which, by the way, those listening, I know that we had some people. It's a good time to mention it. It's a decent segue. We know that there was a glitch with week 10 scheduling threads. Some teams did not get a scheduling thread, and some teams got three of them. So if you were one of the ones affected either way, Homie, I believe, has fixed it. So if you're listening to this podcast and you are one of the people affected, then you should be able to go in and get that taken care of at this point. I think Northwestern at Iowa is a very important game. That's two teams, if I'm not mistaken, that are both in the top 10 right now. No, they're both in the top 15. I'm pretty sure they're both in the top 10.
Yeah, 8 and 10.
I'm surprised that game isn't on our list, but we obviously have to kind of, you know, pick. We've got more than five that we could choose. But that for me is probably the big game, because I think that's going to go a big way in deciding who. We've got two games this week that could go a very long way towards deciding who wins the Big Ten this season.
Yeah, one game that I had on that list that didn't make the top five, but it was on my list, and I promise I'm not pandering, but I had Bowling Green in Toledo on that list. I think that's going to be a huge game, Week 9. You know, obviously a lot of ball to be played, but that could be one of those games where, you know, whoever wins that game kind of has the, I hate to say shoe-in, but, you know, they're probably going to be the favorite to be playing in the conference championship game. So that one looked very interesting and intriguing to me. And actually one game that already happened I didn't know, I think it just happened a few minutes ago, was Coastal Carolina and Troy in the Sun Belt. I thought, you know, Troy was kind of a sleeper, dark horse potentially, but that game just went final. It looks like Coastal won that game 35-28. But yeah, like you said, there's
spoiler gonna be alert.
Yeah. it happened already, so we can't even pretend to talk about it or to not talk about it. But yeah, like you said, conference games, it's going to be a lot of fun. There are still, like we mentioned earlier, there's still some big non-conference games in here as well that are popping up, like the Kansas LSUs. But any others before we put a bow on the Block 5 preview? Any other games that...
I'm scrolling through. I mean, obviously Oregon, Michigan, I think that's a game that the loser's done. I don't think that, you know, you can survive in the Big Ten with three losses in the conference. Michigan's 4-2 right now, 3-1 in conference. Oregon's 5-2, 2 in conference. So, I mean, taking that third loss pretty much eliminates your title hopes in that one. Coastal Carolina, Troy was the one obviously you just mentioned. No, I don't see any others that really, really stand out in Week 10. But again, you know, there are obviously games that we're not even looking at that we might come back next week and go, oh, that was a, you know, game that slipped under our radar, or that we got an upset win and changes the entire trajectory of a conference.
I should actually talk about there is a big matchup that two top teams in their conference are playing each other, I believe, in Week 9, and it's Hawaii versus Fresno State. So that's a pretty big game that we have in the Northwest coming up. And yeah, Week 10 it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a Jeff Moe win.
No pressure.
Not even going to pretend like that's going to be much of a game. That is not going to go well for me. It's been such a weird season for me. I win on the road and then I lose at home. It makes absolutely no sense. Although it doesn't help that my running back keeps deciding he wants to get hurt 4 or 5 plays into the game, like every single game.
Yeah, that's kind of been happening to me too. Not the running back situation, but just I can't win at home. And I did this morning. I had a game that I was fortunate to win at home, but like I feel like I'm not good at home and I don't know what it is. Everyone talks about home field advantage and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't feel it. So I don't know.
No, Jeff Moe has played a much tougher schedule than me, and we're both 3-3, 2-0 in conference. Neither one of us can win on if we're he's 1-3 at home, I'm 1-2, and then he's 2-0 on the road and I'm 2-1. So it makes absolutely no sense. But he's won 3 in a row. He's getting things going with that offense. He's put up 212 points through 6 games. Yeah, it's not gonna be fun for me.
Yeah, speaking of Hawaii, for those gamblers out there, I was very disappointed that they did not cover that 39 points on the island. I didn't watch one play. I couldn't find it on TV. Also, I was out in New Orleans for a while and didn't really put in a ton of effort trying to find it. But, yeah, not
I was up till 2 in the morning, and I didn't see it either. So I looked for it, and I was like, I can't find it. Oh, well, back to writing.
Yeah, I ended up watching Saturday Night Live instead. But hey, let's transition here. We've talked about it a little bit here and there. We've plugged it. I don't think we have Massey ratings or rankings yet. I know we will soon, but I want to talk about the college football playoff because we're really not that far out. And so we're, at least I'm going to, maybe Jason will as well, but we're going to give you guys some predictions now that we've seen games. We know what the conferences are looking like. So I'm going to go down the list, and we'll start with the ACC. I think we're probably both in agreement in who we think and predicting to make the playoff out of the ACC, but I mean, I'm going to say SMU. Would you agree with that, Jason?
Yep. I was on SMU in the preseason. I'm not going to shift now when they're sitting at 6-0.
Yeah. No, you were. That's a team that I, again, would have loved to get. I was only a few picks away from getting them, but curious to see how that shakes out, and would love to see a team like them in the playoff. go down to the Big 12. Man, this is tough. He got some really good teams in here, and I've tried to look at the schedule to see like who's playing who, but I think out of the Big 12, I think the team that I would predict here is West Virginia. What are your thoughts on the Big 12?
I mean, Kansas is 4-0 on the road. They've been just putting up points left, right, and center. You know, they've got to play at Baylor the last block of the season, which I think is a critical game.
Yep.
But they've got Iowa State at home. They've got Colorado at home. I think they've got enough with their stud running back to get the job done. And again, the game with LSU, whether they win or lose, won't have any bearing on conference standings. So I don't think that's going to be a problem here for them. But I think Kansas pulls it out.
Yeah, that's tough because those are right now the two best teams, right? Those are the teams that stand out. And they got to play each other right before the conference championship game, which is probably going to knock one of them out. Now, obviously.
But Baylor plays at West Virginia next block, which is a very key thing to keep in mind with that, because if they lose that game, that, you know, that puts them behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I feel like you're going to see in this conference, you're going to see like four or five teams with like one loss, like one conference loss, maybe two, right? Like just depending on how the schedule shakes out. But yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking, was like Shell wins that game versus Baylor. Again, just my prediction. And then, you know, the Baylor Kansas game, like the winner of that game is going to obviously probably make the conference championship game. And then I would think West Virginia, looking at their schedule, I know they do have a tough schedule as well, but I've watched a lot of his games, him and I kind of chat back and forth. Like, I think that's who I would go with. And you said you were going with Kansas.
Yeah. And the interesting part, we could have a very interesting tiebreaker scenario because Kansas beat West Virginia. If West Virginia beats Baylor and then Baylor beats Kansas, it's going to go to tiebreakers if they're all sitting at one loss.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. We'll move on.
Oh, and then there's that UCF team that's sitting there with one loss, too, that could throw a wrench in things.
They're frauds. These guys are frauds.
They're bums.
You should see my next 3-4 games to end the season. It's like I got Arizona, who I know record-wise doesn't look great, but I know his history. He's a good player, good coach. Who do I have? Oh, I have West Virginia. I got Arizona State, who is looking like they've kind of figured out their game again. It looked like this wasn't going to be as good of a conference at first. Maybe like, some of the older coaches, some of us guys aren't as good as we used to be, but I think it's starting to even out and starting to get really competitive. I think these top like seven teams are going to be fighting for a conference bid or a championship bid. So we'll move on to the Big Ten. Man, this one's tough too. I really want to pick Northwestern. I know he's 5-0. He did just lose a cup game, I believe, which, you know, again, doesn't really affect much. The cup does matter and it's a big deal, but you know, sometimes I think people do look at those wins and losses and kind of factor that into their rankings, their thoughts on teams. But I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm gonna say Northwestern's gonna come out of the Big Ten. It's gonna be one of those big surprises. I think that's who I'm going with here.
So this is interesting. I was assuming, based on how the games were laid out on the NDL homepage, that the second team listed was the home team. Penn State is hosting Ohio State this week.
So yeah, say that.
Which changes everything. Because I was going to say I go with Ohio State, but Daniel's got to play at Penn State and he's got to play at Northwestern. And those are the two toughest games remaining on his schedule. That changes not just, you know, the outlook for the rest of the season. It changes the outlook for this week. I still think he gets the job done at Penn State, but that makes that a much tougher game than I was thinking it was going to be. You know, Iowa, for me, this is a coach that, we look at the team and we wouldn't think, okay, well, they're going to put up points and they're going to dominate. Gets Northwestern at home, doesn't have to play Penn State. He already played Ohio State and lost. But he gets Northwestern at home. And after that, he's only got one really tough game, and that's Nebraska, which, again, he gets at home. So you're talking about a one-loss, potentially, Iowa team here. And if Ohio State's got to go at Northwestern and at Penn State, I don't see that ending with both of those games being wins. I think you're going to see Ohio State and Iowa rematching in the conference title game. Because as good as Northwestern has played, holding teams to 56 points is extremely impressive. But can you do that against Ohio State? Can you, a shutout against Washington, a 7-point against a Virginia Tech team that's not put up a ton of points with Nick before he switched, 7 points to Kansas State. Once he's gotten into conference play, he's given up 19 to Indiana, he gave up 23 to Maryland. He hasn't been tested yet. None of those teams are big teams. And you look at Northwestern's schedule, you've got at Iowa, which is a huge game. You've got the game against Ohio State. You've still got Michigan. You've still got at Purdue, which is not going to be an easy game. And you've still got an Illinois team that has shown fight at times this season. This is going to be a very tough run-in for Northwestern. And as impressive as they've looked, they've yet to beat anybody that you can point at and say, okay, that's a big win.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think I'm still on Northwestern. I like the Cinderella story, but that Iowa Northwestern game might be 17-10. You know, like I know they're both good offensive coaches, but with how good they are defensively and how good their defenses are on this game, I think you're going to see a really low scoring game, kind of a chess match. But yeah, I mean, I looked at the opponent record here and both of them really, you know, have Iowa's opponent win percentage is 27% and Northwestern's is 31. So a lot of that will change when they play, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, and they play some of these other teams. But I don't know. I just feel like
that's the scary part for Iowa. They played at Ohio State and lost 50-28. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Right.
So that is a valid concern. Has Iowa really? I mean, again, we're impressed with what they've done, but can they get a win against one of these bigger teams? I think this is going to be the interesting part down the stretch. Is so we're going to find out which of these teams are really, really good or which have just been a byproduct of their schedule, because some of these games in the run-in are very big games against very tough opponents at very difficult places to play. You combine those three things and you get a score like you got between Iowa and Ohio State.
Well, we'll move on to the SEC. I think this is probably going to be the hardest one to figure out and predict. But I look at the teams in here and I'm like, man, this conference could have like four playoff teams, maybe even more than that, depending on how the at-large bids shake out. I'll let you pick first here. Who do you like in the SEC? Who's going to win this conference?
I've got Big Mike. I mean, this is a guy that has only really had one tough game since the early part of the season, 24-21 over Auburn. But you look at the schedule. You're playing an Alabama team that's only got one win. I think 1-6 on the season. You don't have to play Georgia. You don't have to play Florida. You don't have to play Tennessee. Big Mike's schedule is as favorable as it gets. The one tricky game, I think, is going to be at South Carolina just because of how well Hurricane Freak's playing. Also have to travel at Mississippi State, but those are winnable games, especially for a guy like Big Mike. He's won multiple titles. He's as good as they get in this league. You combine that with the schedule, I just don't see anybody beating him to it. And then I think Georgia, yes, Georgia took a loss, but that team is still absolutely loaded. The problem for Georgia is Florida and Tennessee. Now, get both of those games at home, which is huge. Having played at the Swamp in this game, it's ridiculously stupid to play there. Having both of those games between the hedges, I think, gives Georgia a big edge, and I think he'll end up getting through the rest of the season with just the one loss.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Georgia here. I know he had the loss just recently, but the team's really good, and I think the schedule works out, you know, pretty favorably. This conference, man, I just look at all these teams and, you know, Florida, like new coach, like not sure. I don't know if he's played a game yet, but man, you like any of these top like seven teams you could not go wrong with. But yeah, I'm going to go with Georgia. And I think it's going to be Georgia, Missouri in the conference championship game. I would probably guess that if I'm predicting my playoff, I would probably say, you know, I'd say Tennessee probably makes it, Georgia, Missouri, and then I don't know about Florida, but I think South Carolina's got a pretty nice schedule too the rest of the way. I would probably
And that goes to what we just talked about a little bit ago. How do you judge a team like South Carolina when it comes to the playoff? Let's say they went out. Right now, their opponents are 14-32. So, I mean, if you went out, yes, you're going to get a win against Missouri. But will people punish you for only having two games against, well, three, I guess, with the rivalry game Clemson at the end of the year? But you look at the schedule. No Tennessee, no Florida. No Georgia. Will voters punish them for not having beaten one of those teams?
Yeah, I don't know. We should probably just get Holmey on right now to talk to us about the rankings and just explain it all to us. It's funny you mentioned like opponent record. We talk about Alabama a lot. We, you know, talk about, oh, they're 1-6. It's just not the year that we thought an Alabama team would have. Look at his opponent record. I think that's the number one opponent record in the league with an 80% 80 win percentage. 38-9 is his opponents. And obviously part of that has to do with playing these SEC teams that are 7-0, 7-1. But I mean, that stands out to me big time. I don't think there's anyone with a higher win percentage opponent record out there.
Yeah. He's played seven games and five of his opponents are currently ranked, including UMass. I mean, you look at the schedule at the beginning of the season, you're like, okay, well, he's playing UMass, he'll win that one. He's playing South Carolina, he'll win that one. Like his one win came against Vanderbilt, and Texas Pino's not a bad coach, and he's done some solid stuff with Vandy. I mean, it's not a scrub team. It's not a scrub coach. So he's played a very tough schedule. I think he's improved of late in terms of turnovers, but the turnovers, you know, if you watch that first game against Notre Dame, forcing the ball and things like that, it just snowballs on you. Yeah. I think as he's cleaning things up, he's going to cause some teams some problems down the stretch. He may have, and again, he only has one win, but that's one of those teams that you get a guy hot, you get your quarterback hot in that game, or you get a defensive lineman that's just destroying people. He may end up with only two or three wins, but he may end up deciding who wins and who doesn't in the SEC.
Yeah. No, like you said, we said last week, like, even if you're not having the greatest season, like, you can still play spoiler. And we saw some upsets come through last week. Like, it's going to happen where a 3-6 team beats a 7-0 team or something like that coming down the stretch. It surely is going to happen. I know we're running up here on 7:30, but let's talk quick about the group of five and see if we can find a team out of here who will get that automatic top bid. Now, from my understanding, college football playoff, the top-ranked group of five team would make the playoff or get that automatic bid. I'm assuming it's going to work the same way here, but if you had to pick, maybe we'll do two teams since there's so many. Like, what are the two teams that you see right now is making the college football playoff coming out of the smaller conferences?
I've been on them since the beginning. I still think Toledo. When you look at what they have offensively, the weapons that they have, that running back is just, he's so difficult to stop. And, you know, as you get into conference play and you get into situations where you're playing defenses that don't have as much speed, don't have as much depth, have weaknesses at certain spots on the field, it just becomes even tougher to stop a player like that that can just hit a home run anytime he touches the ball. And then, you know, Sun Belt, we've talked repeatedly about Coastal Carolina, 311 points in seven games. I mean, he can outscore just about anybody. He's taken one loss so far, but I don't think one loss kills you, especially as we discussed, if you're the top ranked power or group of five team. He's just putting up so many points, and he's able to stay in a game no matter what. I think at the end of the day, he'll be right there. Whether or not he gets ranked high enough to get in is the question. But having conference title game against, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, having a conference title game means he's got a chance no matter what. Even if he loses a couple games in his side, he wins that conference title game, he gets, you know, he gets that bump up. So
right.
It's difficult. Part of the issue, too, that we're running into, you know, we've got some teams that have only played 4 or 5 games, and that's where it gets a little tricky because we're analyzing this based on, well, they're undefeated versus a team that might be 6-1 or 7-1 in their conference. It's a little tricky. The good news is that we're only, what, 2-3 blocks from being to the end of the regular season, so there's not a whole lot of time left for this uneven stacking of games. We're going to start seeing some of these games get played quickly here over the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be fun. It is going to be, you know, it's one thing to kind of keep an eye on things while you're at work and you check the scoreboard. When we get to that last block, people are going to be watching constantly. People are going to have the streams pulled up. Every single result could send seismic waves through this community, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I always try to react to games like with the fire emojis or like the surprise emojis just to like get the buzz going, get people, you know, I know people probably do look at them every day, all day anyway, but as it stands right now, Toledo would be the highest ranked Group of Five team. I'm with you. I think they're really good. He took good care of me when we played in the cup in the group play. But I said it earlier in the show, biggest game that right now on conference game, smaller conference, mid-majors, whatever you want to call them, is Bowling Green Toledo. I think that's going to be a massive game because I think that is going to be like the winner of that game probably ends up, again, conference championship opportunity with a chance to win that conference championship game and get that bid into the playoff. I think we're on the same page with Coastal. I think that's probably the other team that I lean heavily toward. I would love to pick a Mountain West team, but everyone in the Mountain West is kind of like 3-3, 3-4, 2-4. Now, conference wise, you know, some undefeated teams in there, but it's looking like that team is the playoff team is coming from maybe the MAC or Conference USA with Liberty as well. I got to give them some love. They've been solid all year, but we won't go through and actually pick all 12 playoff teams, but that's kind of some names I have on my radar. Jason, any other teams that you can think of or that you like to make a college football playoff run or any dark horses?
Well, we've got this other team that's not in a power conference called Notre Dame that we've got to discuss as well.
That is
I don't remember what the rule is for Notre Dame. I know they've got that stupid baked-in thing for some reason that I'll never understand why they get preferential treatment just because they're not in a conference. But I think if they win 10 games, they get in, or is it 11 games? Or I cannot remember what the exact thing is that gets them in. But that's one of those teams that potentially steals a spot from one of these small schools.
Yeah.
Not that it's stealing. He deserves to get in. But it's one less spot that a non-power school can get.
Yeah, and I don't know how I forgot about Notre Dame. That's my team, who I love and cannot wait to see play next weekend. They can't get a top 4 seed. Those go to the 4 conference champions. So I don't know what the rule is specifically other than that they have to be 5-12. But I'm guessing that's going to be the same thing here. They could be ranked number one. They could be undefeated at the end of the year. They're going to have to play a round one game against a 12 seed. So how did I forget about them? Awesome. Well, it's been a great show, y'all. Thanks for tuning in this week. Really excited to see the games unfold. Keep an eye on the Beefy Cup. It's still going on. We're on the round of 32 now. Any housekeeping things I'm missing, Jason, or any announcements out there that we should mention?
The next time that we do a podcast, we will be in week one.
Yes.
College football is here, folks. We're actually going to have real games to go along with our fake games next weekend, and it's going to be very fun. Obviously, we'll have some announcements later in the week, you know, with next weekend being a holiday weekend. You know, we may or may not, you and I'll have to talk, but we may or may not have the podcast out on Sunday night.
Yep.
And then obviously we're going to try to do something special for the college football playoff reveal, because this is our last podcast before we get to the first ranking reveal, and I think we've got to do something, you know, very special for that, because we've never gotten this is the first time ever, you know, we didn't have this last time when we did the NDL, we had the, you know, top two teams get in. So this is going to be very fun, and hopefully we can do something extra special for you guys.
Yeah, going to be really cool. And like Jason said, yeah, we probably won't have a podcast out until like Monday or Tuesday even of next week. But yeah, if you guys need anything out there, hit up your conference commissioners. Excited that we are, I think we're officially at the halfway point, and going to be fun to see it all unfold.